This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد My brothers and sisters, we are on the class on living Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you for coming and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to practice this beautiful deen that Allah sent for our benefit. This is something which is which seems to be a self-evident thing, but we need to remind ourselves that Islam came for our benefit. Allah did not send this deen for His benefit. Allah sent it for our benefit. Now, it's very important when we are looking at Islam and looking at the deen to understand and to remember the etiquette of approaching the deen, the etiquette of approaching Islam. The reason why it's important to understand that is because, like any branch of knowledge, one is the knowledge itself, the learning itself, and the second one, which comes before the first one, is how to learn, the methodology of learning. If we approach the knowledge without understanding the methodology of learning, then the knowledge doesn't come to us and we cannot benefit from the knowledge. So also in Islam, and very much so in Islam, there is a methodology of learning. Some basic fundamental principles that we understand, which we take as understood before we approach the deen. For example, there is a basic fundamental principle that we understand and which we must understand, which is the fundamental difference between knowledge of revelation and any other kind of knowledge, which is human knowledge, knowledge of discovery, experimentation, study, so on and so on. And that fundamental difference is that in every kind of human knowledge, there is no absolute certainty about anything, right? So we have a certain knowledge which seems certain, but it's certain only because of what we know until that point in time. After some time, this certainty which we had can change. Right? Let me give you some, for example, in medical science, there was a period during which cholesterol was supposed to be an absolute killer. So, they advised us and they said, even eggs, remove the yolks, only whites of the eggs, no fat, no butter. At one point in time, margarine, people used to consume, huge quantities of margarine instead of butter, and so on. All of this stuff happened. Then the thinking changed. And they said, no, cholesterol is good for you. There is LDL and HDL. There is not all cholesterol is not bad. Only some kind of cholesterol is bad. And margarine is basically plastic. So, junk it, right? Don't even touch it. Natural foods, organic foods and so on. Now, people sometimes tend to laugh at this. And they say, what kind of nonsense is this and so on and so forth. This is not nonsense. This is very good. This is very good because it indicates an openness of the mind, it indicates the importance of ongoing research, it indicates the fact that people who are learned in these sciences, they are not rigid in their views and they are willing to change their opinions. So just because I have been saying that eggs are bad, when I am faced with evidence that eggs are not bad, then I am willing to change my mind. So alhamdulillah, there are lots of good things about that. It's not something to scoff at or to laugh at. On the other hand, divine knowledge, the knowledge of revelation, as I said, non-divine language, And I don't mean this in any derogatory sense. I'm just differentiating one from the other. So non-divine language is characterized by uncertainty. It is certain based on what we know till now. Is this certain for all time? No. New knowledge will come up and then this certainty will change for some other certainty. But with the knowledge of revelation, the opposite is true, which is that what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us is absolutely certain and there is no change in it. There will never be any change in it. Now the reason I'm saying this is, and I'm saying why this is important, is because, and this also relates to the adab or the etiquette of referring to the knowledge of Islam and the knowledge of revelation. For example, in non-divine knowledge, you can probably, it would be a bit of a generalization, but you could probably say that everything is a concept, right? So you have a concept of this and a concept of that. But in divine knowledge, it would be accurate to say that nothing is a concept. It was here in this part of the world. I was here 22 years ago, and I was speaking at Amherst, at UMass. One of the people there, a non-Muslim lady, she stood up and said, what is the concept of God in Islam? So I said, there is no concept of God in Islam. So she looked very shocked. She said, what do you mean there is no concept of God in Islam? I said, there is no concept of God in Islam. Who told you there is a concept of God in Islam? So she said, I'm sorry, I don't understand what you're saying. I said, in Islam, God is not a concept. God is real. So where is the concept of God? There's no concept of God. If you say, what is the concept of heaven, Jannah? There's no concept of Jannah. What is the concept of Jahannam? There's no concept of Jahannam. What, do you have a concept of the Day of Judgment? No. Sorry, we have no concept of the Day of Judgment. What did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to say when he woke up for tahajjud? Allahumma anta al-haq. Anta al-haq. He didn't say anta tasawwur. He said, oh Allah, you are a concept. Did he say that? No. He said, Allahumma anta al-haq. Wa liqa'uka haq. To meet you, meeting of you is what? Is a concept? No. It is haq. Liqa'uka haq. Jannatu haq, annaru haq. Now, the reason I'm saying this is sometimes when we are speaking, not because we are trying to be disrespectful or with any intention, but just this is, we just talk. Now, with respect to Islam, with respect to Allah, with respect to Rasulullah, it is extremely, extremely important to be very sure of what we say and how we say it. Because any semblance of disrespect for Allah or Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam takes us out of Islam. If you do that deliberately, then you are definitely out of Islam. If you do that unknowingly, then of course we have the shield of the ignorant to say that I was not aware, but definitely it's a sign of ignorance. So the use of the word concept with regard to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with regard to the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with regard to all of these things, Islamically speaking, is incorrect, because in divine knowledge, there is no concept. There is divine knowledge is divine knowledge. The knowledge of revelation is haq. It is the truth. It is unchanging, unchangeable. It has been the same and it will always be the same. So this is the first and foremost principle to understand as far as living Islam and speaking about Islam is concerned. The second very important concept to understand is the concept of Tawheed. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. And I'm saying this also to illustrate what I said earlier with regard to the understanding of Islam. So if I say, for example, how do you enter Islam? Let me ask you this question. Supposing you say, supposing somebody comes to you and says, I want to become Muslim. What will you ask him to do? What was it?
Take shahada.
Take shahada. What is the shahada? La ilaha illallah. Muhammad Rasulullah. Right? Now if somebody says, well, I am okay with saying La ilaha illallah. Right? I don't want to say Muhammad Rasulullah. Is he a Muslim?
No.
No. What is the dalil? What is the proof of this? The proof of this, the biggest proof of this is in the seerah itself, which is the people of Quraysh of Makkah, who said this. They said, and the best example of that is Abu Sufyan himself, radiallahu anhu, even at the time of Fatah Makkah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was camped outside Makkah in the night, and next morning the army was going to enter Makkah. So now this huge army camp is outside of Makkah. Abu Sufyan, along with another friend of his, they came out of Makkah to scout and to see what is the size of this army which has come, and so on and so forth. So they came and they were standing on a hill, a hillock, when they got caught by the guards. So Abu Sufyan would probably have been killed because they were spies. But anyway, Allah saved them. And then Al-Abbas bin Abdul Muttalib, he found them. So he's related to Abu Sufyan. They are from the same Quraysh and from Banu Hashim. So Al-Abbas took Abu Sufyan, put him on the mule of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and brought him, that was to save him, because otherwise somebody would have killed him. So he put him on the mule of Rasulullah, and he brought him in the presence of the Rasulullah. So, and there he said, Rasulullah said to Abu Sufyan, are you willing to accept Islam? Abu Sufyan said, I am willing to say La ilaha illallah. I am willing to accept that there is no one worthy of worship except Allah. Now, why was that? Why was he willing to do that? Because in any case, the Quraysh, they, among all the gods they worshipped, Allah was one of the gods. They worshipped Allah and they called Allah the head god. And when people told them, why do you worship idols? They said, no, these idols are the daughters of the head god and we worship them to get close to the head god. This, the Quran says all this, right? So we know this. So for them to say La ilaha illallah was a step. It was not difficult for them. So Abu Sufyan said, La ilaha illallah, I'm willing to say. But Muhammad Rasulullah, he said, that I am not willing to say because you are my cousin. I mean, I know you. I know you from, we played together as kids. I mean, for me to accept that you are a messenger of Allah, this is not possible. So Al-Abbas radiallahu anhu said, I am free of you. If somebody kills you, that is your responsibility. He said, you are a dumb-headed man. You have no sense. You don't understand what situation there is. And I am free. I tried to save you. I can't save you. Goodbye. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam intervened. He said, nobody will harm him. He did not force him to accept Islam. He did not force him to say Muhammad Rasulullah. He said, nobody will harm him. And then he said to Al-Abbas radiallahu anhu, he says, he is under my protection. Now take him and show him the army. Because I don't want them to become unnecessarily adventurous tomorrow. And as a result of that, there will be a lot of deaths. People will be killed. I don't want them to do that. Let them see that this is an overwhelming force. They can't fight it anyway. So let them allow us to enter Makkah peacefully. So Abu Sufyan was taken around. He was shown. He went back safely. Next day, Rasulullah ﷺ entered Makkah and Makkah was conquered. And then Abu Sufyan and his wife, they were Hinda, radiallahu anhuma, they were in their house and they spoke between themselves. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Jibreel alayhi salam and informed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that this is what Abu Sufyan said to his wife and this is what the wife replied. So when Abu Sufyan came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this is what you said to your wife in your house and this is what your wife said. Abu Sufyan said, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. He said, I accept that you are the Rasul of Allah. Nobody was there except me and my wife. There is no way that you could have known this unless your Rabb informed you, and your Rabb informed you, so I am accepting Islam. Now, the reason I told you this whole long story is because sometimes some people with good intentions, they will say something like, as long as you say La ilaha illallah, that is enough. Please understand, it is not enough. You can say La ilaha illallah till you are green in the face, you are not a Muslim. Islam is not La ilaha illallah. Islam is La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. In a manner of speaking, and again, I'm not promoting this, I'm just explaining to you in terms of Arabic grammar. In the manner of speaking, if somebody simply says Muhammadur Rasulullah, he has accepted Islam, because by when he is saying Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the Rasul of Allah, he has also accepted Allah. But if he only says La ilaha illallah, there is no mention of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is not a Muslim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent his deen. Allah could have just sent his deen by any means that he wanted without a prophet. Allah could have done this. This is not something that Allah was not capable of doing. Allah did not do that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent his deen, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called the one who brought the deen his ni'mah. Allah didn't call Islam the ni'mah. Allah did not even call Quran the ni'mah. These are all ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My eyesight is a ni'mah of Allah. I'm not denying the eyesight. I'm just saying that as far as what Allah called a ni'mah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the ni'mah. Allah said, لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا. Allah did not say بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ كِتَابًا. Allah said, إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ. Allah said, verily and truly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed the believers by sending to them his Rasul, his messenger, from amongst themselves. So this is a double honor. One, that Allah sent his messenger, and second, the messenger is one of them. Allah could have sent an angel, Allah could have sent somebody from somewhere else. No, Allah said, I have sent the messenger, number one benefit, and number two is the messenger is from among them. Double honor. And then what did Allah say? يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. With four things, to recite to them the kalam of Allah. يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ, to recite to them the ayat of Allah. وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ, to purify them. External purification, internal purification. Tazkiyatun nafs wa tarbiyatul akhlaq. Wa yu'allimuhumul kitab, and to teach them the kitab. Teach who? People who were the experts of the knowledge, of the language. Right? He's not talking about Bangladeshis and Pakistanis and Indians and Americans. He's talking about the Arabs, the people of Quraysh and the other tribes there, for whom classical Quranic Arabic, which we know till today, even today, I don't know how many of you are aware, but even today, when there is a debate on a linguistic issue with respect to the Quran, a particular word, how was this word, how is this, what is the exact meaning of this word, what is the usage, how is it understood, you know what they do? They go back in the sources to say, how did the Sahaba understand this word? And that is taken as the correct interpretation of that word. They don't say in modern Arabic, what is it? Forget about English and Urdu and what. They don't even take the Arabic understanding. They say, what did the Sahaba understand? How did they understand? Because these were the people who actually received the revelation. They heard the Quran from the voice of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So what was there to teach them? You are sending your book, you are sending your message to a people in their language, and those people are the experts of the language. What is there to teach? So obviously, if Allah is saying there is something to teach, what does it mean? It means there is something to teach. It means that the word Allah has given, but Allah has also given his Nabi alayhi salam an understanding and a comprehension of that word, which is not there in the word. So if you simply read the word, you don't get that. You get the word. Sure, fair enough. You are an expert in the language. You get the word. But you don't get the comprehension of that. You don't get the understanding of that. For this, you have to make ruju to the Nabi. You have to go and sit at the feet of the Nabi and ask him. وَيُوَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ The overall wisdom of that. How it is to be practiced. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reiterated and emphasized. Allah said, وَإِن كَانُوا مِن قَبْلُ لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ Allah said, verily and truly, they were before this min qablu lafi. Again, emphasis. Truly they were misguided. So now if somebody comes to you and says, the kitab of Allah is enough. I have the book of Allah. I have got Maududi's translation. I have got Shafi Usmani's translation. I have got some other Urdu translation. I have got English translation by Yusuf Ali. I have got another English translation by somebody else. And why do I need? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Run far away from such statements. If the people who were the experts of the Arabic language, who actually heard the Quran, bisawti Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, if they needed Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to teach them, and if you are telling me you don't need him, then please go and do whatever you like with your life, because as far as I am concerned, ana bari'un minkum, I am free from you, I don't take responsibility for you or that statement. You get the point I'm making? So with regard to approach to Islam, the basic fundamentals of how to approach the deen must be learned before you even touch any part of the deen. To give you an example, I know English, right? Alhamdulillah, I know English better than most people. Now here is Dr. Shaukat Mateen, he's a doctor. So I say to him, what is so great about your medicine that you studied? I know English. I can pick up the book. I will read all about diabetes. I'll read all about this. I'll all about that. And as far as I'm concerned, your patients, instead of going to Dr. Shaukat Mateen, you come to me. I'll treat you at half the price. Right? So I set up my shop next to his and I say, well, I'm in competition with you. I know English. I mean, I'm reading. What's the big deal? You're not getting why? I'm not getting why? I'm reading English. What will you say? What will you say? I'm not qualified, right? Even though I am reading English. The book is in English. You will say, sorry, sir. I'm not coming to you. I value my life. You may know English, but you are not a doctor. You didn't go to a college. You did not study under somebody. You were not a house surgeon. You did not practice. You did not have somebody for your islah. Nobody corrected you. Nobody did anything. You simply pick up a book. You start reading the book and now you start giving prescriptions. Sorry, it doesn't work. Then my submission to you is, how does this work with the Quran? And with the Quran, most of us, we don't even know the language. You pick up the Quran in Arabic and you read it in English, or you read it in Urdu, or you read it in Bangla, or you read it in Malayalam or Tamil or something, God knows what. And then you want to make pronouncements on the Quran and you want to say, in my opinion this and in my opinion that. Who are you and what is your opinion? It is worthless. Your intention may be good, but believe me, my brothers and sisters, the road to Jahannam is paved with good intentions. What is the intention? What was the intention of the Christians when they made Isa alayhi salam son of God? Good intention or bad intention? Good intention. I mean, they said that this man is so good, he cannot be human. It has to be divine. So they are praising him. They are raising his level. Good intention. But you accept this? The road to Jahannam is paved with good intentions. Good intention alone does not satisfy the criteria of a good deed. Good intention is one of the requirements. What is a good intention? That intention should be free from riya, free from showing off, must have sincerity. That's only one condition. But there are other conditions. So the issue of saying my opinion, and let me give you again, I should also not give my, it's not my opinion. I'm giving you dalail from the Quran and the Sunnah. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Abasa, in the 30th juz, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this ayah, wa fakihatan wa abba. Yeah, this is one of the ayat of Suratul Abasa. Wa fakihatan wa abba. When this ayat was revealed, a man came to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And he said to him, Ya Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Allah has revealed wa fakihatan wa abba. We understand fakiha, which means fruits. What is abba? He said, we understand habba. Habba is a newly sprouting shoot. So he said, we understand fakiha, we understand habba, but here it is abba. So what is abba? Now, who is he asking? He is asking Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Who is Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is sitting, and with him are his two companions, Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhuma. A lady comes to him and she asks him a question. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells her, come back tomorrow and I will tell you. So she says, tomorrow if you are not here, meaning if you have died, if you have passed away. She said, if you are not here, what shall I do? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ask Abu Bakr. So Abu Bakr is not, you know, your friend. Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu has a status given by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself. He said, if I am not here, ask Abu Bakr. She said, if Abu Bakr is not there, what shall I do? He said, ask Umar. This is the status of the Sahaba and the status of the Khulafa Rashideen and the status especially of Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhuma, as mentioned in the Sahih Hadith with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, this Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, أفضل البشر بالتحقيق بعد الأنبياء بالتحقيق. You heard this in the Juma Khutbah, no? So many times you heard this. His level is what? After the Anbiya, number one. The man comes to him and asks him, Allah has revealed وَفَاكِهَةً وَأَبَّا. What is the meaning of Abba? Did Abu Bakr Siddiq say, you know, in my opinion, I think this is what it should mean. Did he say that? Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu said, which earth will shield me? Which earth will hide me? And which sky will shield me if I say about the Kitab of Allah that which I don't know? Yeah? The man is not asking for a fatwa. The man is not asking for... He is only asking the meaning of one word. So did Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, as is our custom nowadays with a lot of people, use this term in my opinion. Now please take this term in my opinion out of your dictionary when you are referring to the kalam of Allah. You and your opinion, I and my opinion have no value whatsoever. Remove it. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu says, which sky will shield me and which earth will hide me if I say about the Kitab of Allah that which I don't know? So the man goes to Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. And he says to him, Ya Umar radiallahu anhu, Allah has revealed Fakihatan wa Abba. What is Abba? Umar radiallahu anhu says, Fakiha we know, which is fruits, and habba we know, which is a new shoot. Indeed, what is abba? Then immediately he says, woe to you, O Umar. He laments himself. He lambasts himself. He said, woe to you, Umar. What are you trying to do? You want to say about the Kitab of Allah which you don't know? This was the ihtiyat. This was the carefulness, the care and the concern of the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in. My brothers and sisters, I say to you that if any people, as a people, if any generation had justification to use the term, in my opinion, it was the Sahaba. They could have justifiably said it, because they were witness to the Quran. So they could have justifiably said, okay, you know, I've been listening to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam for so many years. We have had so many discussions and so on and so forth. So I think probably this is what it means, my opinion. Never. You will never see this with the Sahaba Ridwanullahi Alayhim. Never. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, the one who Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua to give him the faham and the understanding of the Quran. He is called the Mufassir of the Ummah. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu says that he was about maybe 10 years old or so. And he said, I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam waking up for tahajjud. Imagine what kind of a generation that was. This 10-year-old boy is saying, I saw the Prophet wake up. Meaning, what was he doing? He was already up. Right? It's not that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam woke up and then woke up Ibn Abbas. No. He was already up. He said, I saw him waking up, so I ran and got water for him for wudu. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made wudu. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put his blessed hand on the chest of Abdullah ibn Abbas. And he said, oh Allah, give him the fiqh of deen. Give him the understanding of the deen. Give him the understanding of the Quran. So he had the dua of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His way, when he used to give fatwa, if somebody did something or they asked some question, his way when he used to give fatwa, he never said, this is wrong, this is haram, you will go to Jahannam. No. He would say, I don't know whether Allah will accept this or not. Does it mean that he was not sure? No. It is just his being careful with the kalam of Allah. What we call in Urdu, ihtiyat. Bahut muhtaat hua karte the. Very, very careful with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The boundaries of Allah, the adab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in this concept of being careful with Allah, also now we come to the third issue, which is that with regard to the Quran, and especially with regard to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself, and with regard to many instances and many ayat relating to the ghaib, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his wisdom chose to express certain things in certain ways. Please understand that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to dissect everything and tell us everything in the minutest detail, there was nobody stopping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from doing that. I have a request. It's a very, very nice joke. Right? If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to explain in the minutest detail, for example, what is the arsh? For example, what is the kursi? For example, what is the meaning of samawat? For example, when Allah said al-ard, is it this earth or is it some other earth? Because in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned 7 earths, not one. Allah could have explained all this. Allah was not submitting the Quran to his editor. And the editor said, no, excuse me, it has to be so many word count. I mean, I'm a author, I'm a writer, so I know this. Editors do that. You submit a book, they say, no, can't have so many pages. No, nobody will buy a book with so many pages. So reduce the number of words. Allah was not submitting his kitab to an editor. Allah had no word count to worry about. Allah could have explained everything in the minutest detail. Allah did not do that. Why? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explained what he wanted to explain. What Allah did not want to explain, Allah did not explain. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just showed us isharat. Only Allah sort of made points and marked. He left things which he did not explain. Now this was not to confuse you and all. This is for us to, as the signs of Allah. For example, Allah said, Al-arshuhu al-ma. Allah said, his arsh is on water. Which water? Where is this water? Where is the water? Allah said the morning when it breathes. Morning breathes. What is the meaning of morning breathes? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned Surah Al-Isra. Allah said, وَيَسْعَلُونَكَ عَنِ الرُّوحِ. They ask you about the ruh. They came to Rasulullah sallam. They asked Rasulullah sallam, what is the ruh? What is this spirit? Many of us, if not all of us, we have bathed dead bodies, right? The first one I bathed was here in this masjid, 22 years ago. There was a doctor, the Syrian doctor in Bay State Hospital. He was a head of the Department of Nuclear Medicine. Hale and hearty man, in his 60s, he dropped dead on a tennis court, playing tennis. So his wife phoned here, and Sheikh Wissam was the sheikh, and she said, my husband, I think, was a Muslim. She had no idea. She was Christian. They have 4 children, all Christian. She said, my husband, however, I think, was a Muslim. And this is what happened. He died. And I think he would have wanted to be buried in the Muslim way. So can you make arrangements? So Sheikh spoke to her. He said, are you Muslim? Did you ever see your husband pray? He said, no. Did he ever tell you anything about Islam? Ever? I mean, this man has been married for, his eldest son was 40-something years old. So in 40-plus years, the woman never saw him pray. Did he tell you anything about Islam? No, he didn't tell you anything about Islam. And so on and so forth. So do we know he's a Muslim? We don't know. So I asked Sheikh, I said, Sheikh, is it okay, will you permit me to go and do ghusl and so on for him? Because I felt bad, you know, here is this woman phoning and saying this, whatever the fiqh of it, I'm not getting involved in that, I'm not arguing about the fiqh of the thing. But somehow for me to just leave the man there and, you know, let them go and put him in a hole somewhere, I didn't like this idea. So I said, let me go. Sheikh said, I have no objection. You can go if you like, but I will not come. He said, okay. So myself and there were 2 brothers here, Akbar and Asghar Sheikh, and four of us. We went to this body was in a funeral home. So we spoke to the guy. He said, what do you need to bathe and so on? So we told him, we need just a table. And so first body I bathed was this man's body. And believe me, wallahi, that thing completely, till today, when I think about that, it shakes me from inside. This man looked like he was sleeping. That's it. That is it. So obviously, the people, this was an experience for all of them. So they said, yes, aluna kaani ruh. Allah said, they are asking you, what is the ruh? Because here is a man who is walking around hale and hearty. This ruh, whatever it is taken out from him and he's dead. But has anything changed? Do his eyes look different or his ears are twisted or nothing. He's exactly the same. He looks like he is just fast asleep. I'm talking about the ayat relating to the ghaib and our attitude to that. So now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they came and asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they said, what is the ruh? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, yes, alunaka ani ruh. They are asking you, O Muhammad, what is the ruh? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So technically speaking or logically speaking, what should Allah have done? Allah should have explained, no? What is the ruh? Allah should have said, the ruh is made of this and so on and right? What did Allah say? Ar-ruhu min amri rabbi. The ruh is the amr of Allah. The ruh is an order of Allah. No. So what did you understand? What is the ruh? We don't know. Exactly. I ask you a question, you give me an answer which I don't understand. So what must we do? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا أُوتِيتُ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. And we have given you from our knowledge only a little bit. So as far as the issue of deen is concerned, issue of Allah is concerned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us what He wants to tell us. Allah informs us what He wants to inform us. And this is in keeping with His glory and majesty and grace as the Creator and Sustainer, as Rabbul Alameen, as Rabbul Arshil Kareem, as Zul Jalali wal Ikram, as Arhamur Rahimeen, as Ghafurur Rahim. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's prerogative, which we as the slaves of Allah, as the Ibadullah, do not question. So the basic fundamental, this is not a class on Aqeedah, but one of this point I must mention, the basic fundamental principle of Aqeedah of the Muslims, of the Sunnis, is what? That we do not ask about Allah, we believe what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about Himself and about the Ghaib, but we do not ask questions about that. We believe what Allah said, bila kaif, we don't ask how. Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu explained this. He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَّامٍ ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْأَرْشِ. Allah said, He has created the heavens and the earth in 7 days, and then He made istiwa on the arsh. He said, we believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where is Allah? Allah is on His arsh. If you say, what is the nature? When we say istiwa alal arsh, what does it mean? Is Allah standing on it? Is He sitting on it? Is He lying down on this? Na'udhu billah, we don't make this thing. I'm just saying this to explain. What is the answer? The answer is, we don't know. We don't ask. Why don't we ask? It's a logical question. Why don't we ask? We don't ask because there is no way of answering. You will ask whom? You ask me? You are somebody like me? How will I answer? How will anybody answer? The only way of answering is to go and see it. Can you go and see it? Can I go and see it? No. Or if Wahi comes, and if I tell you that Jibreel Islam came and told me, then what? Then what must you do? You must flush me down the toilet, right? So when we say bila kaif, why do we believe? Now people say sometimes, oh, there is blind faith in Islam. Please understand, there is no blind faith in Islam. In Islam, there is faith with understanding. How? Let me give you an example. Once again, my friend here, my brother, Dr. Shaukat Mateen. If I get sick, he is my doctor, I go to him. I say, Doctor, this is what has happened to me, these are my symptoms. He tells me, eat this tablet. So what do? Do I eat it or I don't eat it? So if I take the tablet which Dr. Shaukat Mateen gives me, what will you say? You have got blind faith in Shaukat Mateen? No. Before I went to Shaukat Mateen, I found out who is Shaukat Mateen. Is he a doctor? Is he pretending to be a doctor? Does anyone else know him as a doctor? Does he have other customers? Does he have other patients? I go talk to the patient. I satisfy myself that here is a man who is highly competent, who is highly experienced, right? So now when I go to him and if I listen to him without question, is it blind faith or is it faith with the understanding that I am listening to an expert? Which one? So when I say that I obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without question, is it blind faith or is it faith knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu amma nawaluhu is Rabbul Arshil Kareem? There is no blind faith. I have first determined that only and only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu is worthy of worship. I have determined and I am completely and totally convinced that He is my Rabb, Jalla Jalalu. So then when I obey Him, I am obeying Him with this complete and total understanding. Where is the blind faith? There is no blind faith. So with respect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we believe whatever Allah told us, as He told us, without asking how. For those questions which are in the realm of the ghaib, of the unknown. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this very specifically in the Quran, in Surah Al-Imran, in ayah number 7, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, where is that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, هُوَ الَّذِي أَنزَلَ عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ مِنْهُ آيَاتٌ مُحْكَمَاتٌ هُنَّ أُمُّ الْكِتَابِ وَأُخَرُ مُتَشَابِهَاتٌ فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ زَيْغٌ فَيَتَّبِعُونَ مَا تَشَابَهَ مِنْهُ ابْتِغَاءَ الْفِتْنَةِ وَابْتِغَاءَ تَاوِيلِهِ وَمَا يَعْلَمُ تَاوِيلَهُ إِلَّا اللَّهُ والراسخون في العلم يقولون آمنا به كل من عند ربنا وما يذكر إلا أولو الألباب. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, it is He, Jalla Jalaluhu, who has sent down to you Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the book, that is this Quran. In it are ayat, which are entirely clear, and they are the foundations of the book. These are what is called the Muhkamat, ayat of ahkam. And then, these are ahkam, the fara'id, the hudud, and so on and so forth. And then other ayat which are mutashabihat, which are not entirely clear. Allah is mentioning this clearly. Allah is saying some things are absolutely clear, some things are not so clear. Then Allah says, so as for those in whose hearts there is a deviation, there is a disease, they follow that which is not entirely clear. Seeking fitna, they are seeking controversy and seeking for its hidden meaning. Right? Hidden meaning. But nobody knows the hidden meanings except Allah. But those who are firmly grounded in knowledge, they say, we believe in it, the Quran, the whole of it, what is clear and what is unclear, that all of these are from our Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu. And none receive admonition and none receive warning and correction and guidance except people of understanding. And this is in Tafsir al-Tabari. So, in terms of living Islam, I thought let us clarify some fundamental things before we go ahead with regard to the adab of studying Islam. And that is that with respect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and with respect to whatever of the ghaib that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, we believe in it, we believe what Allah has told us, as He told us, without unnecessarily going into all kinds of conjecture and philosophication and philosophizing and all of that stuff. No, we don't ask how, we don't go into conjecture, we don't philosophize, we don't create theories, we don't create concepts. We believe what Allah has told us, how He told us. And we accept that we have only that much of knowledge and we do not have more knowledge, and you are not going to get more knowledge by asking needless questions, number one. Number two, with respect to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we believe and we accept that we have this deen because of the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We accept that this deen, we owe the greatest debt to Rasulullah ﷺ. We accept that in this deen, Rasulullah ﷺ is the greatest ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent. And therefore, we refer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we refer to Rasulullah ﷺ with the highest level of respect that is possible in terms of our language. And we are extremely careful with regard to how we refer to Allah and how we refer to Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us on the straight path and never to allow us and to deviate from that. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with you and never to be displeased. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our hearts to guidance, to hidayat. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept all our du'as, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased and never to be displeased with us. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain. برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين والحمد لله رب العالمين.